Hi, team. Welcome to the Escape Podcast for Star Wars The Old Republic. This week, we'll talk about the Rakuul event, what we had fun with, and tips and tricks for next time. We'll also cover our weekly Galactic Starfighter tips, and you can check the show notes for another rumor or prediction that's probably a complete and total lie. This week, we have an infected astromech standing by to record this and rampage through the galaxy, infecting you with our content. Are you ready, EPC-2-3?
All right. I'm scared.
That is a little disturbing, isn't it?
Maybe you should go in the airlock now.
Well, we'll see about that. So how's it going, and how many people have you infected this week?
Oh, my goodness. I've infected, I think, 66 people, I'm embarrassed to say.
Nice.
Probably nobody listened to this, though. It wasn't you guys. It was totally somebody else.
There's the people who don't mind it, and there's the people who do. And I don't know why those people mind it so much, but some people do.
I actually did it at the hangout, you know, on the fleet where people were doing it. So
right.
But I spent a lot of time with the Rakuul event this week. Which I really enjoyed. I was happy it came back. And I was kind of, when it first started, I was kind of not ready for an event because I was sort of into leveling. You know, you get that mindset. But once I got started with it, I really appreciated lots of things about it. I liked some of the changes they made. And I like, one thing I like really is that it seems like they build on what they've done before and make little tweaks to make it better.
Yeah.
Event upon event. So I like the look of this event. Well, we're going to talk about what we like. So
right.
We'll talk about that. So suffice it to say, Rakuuls, and more Rakuuls, and some infected Killiks as well. Mm-hmm. In our ops group, we did go and do the event ops boss, the Eyeless. We did them on story mode and hard mode on our regular ops night. And that was fun and interesting. And then we did our normal run of Dread Fortress, and then the night was pretty much over at that point. And then our second ops night, we went in and did Dread Palace, but we didn't have our normal lineup of people. We had a guest tank with us. Thank you, Haruk, for stepping in there. So we, instead of going to our regular progression content, which is hard mode Dread Fortress right now, we went and had a Commendation Palooza evening. So we did story mode, SMV, scum and villainy. Scum and villainy.
Both the scum and the villainy.
Yes.
We did. Yes.
Story mode, Terra from Beyond, both just up to the port, you know, the weekly boss. And then we did Caragas Palace on nightmare mode for that weekly. And that was really a lot of fun to do Caragas Palace because it was just, we just breezed through, of course, because we're, you know, 5 levels above and we have our Uber raid gear and all that stuff. But we hadn't done that before as a group. So the whole evening was just, you know, achievement after achievement after achievement for everybody. So that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. I'm glad we got to do it.
Yeah, that was fun.
And I have been playing with my new trooper. I rolled up a trooper. I do have a couple of troopers that are at like level 50. So I'm gonna pick one of those and work on leveling them to 55. But I wanted to start off with the brand new one because it's been a while since I played my trooper, and I kind of wanted to start from the ground up and go, okay, this is your, see how. But I'm not sure now that was really valuable because I think my level 50s are going to be doing completely different things than my level 20. But we'll get into that one day.
Yep, we will get into that one day.
How about you, Max?
So yeah, I really like that Caragas Palace run too. It was nightmare mode and we did get all those achievements and I hadn't gotten those before. So that was fun to see. And then we were really flying through there. We did so much that night on Sunday night. It was fun to see us get to the start of the end fight, the Caraga fight, and have the warning come up that says, you only have 1.5 out of 2 hours left to your nightmare mode run.
Like, I don't know. It's just really fun to go just slaughtering everything. And as you're doing it, the memories come back of when it was progression and right. how, you know, like, oh my gosh, this, we used to do that. And this, the other thing, I remember that last fight in Caracas Palace, and me and Shoujo were healing. And we were like going, how do you even heal this thing? I don't get it.
Right.
Oh, so much damage. And you can't exactly. stand behind him, and you can't stand in front of him. And then those little droids come out. But yeah.
I had fun taking my pet droid out, my CE yeah. my collector's edition mouse droid. And then other people funny. Started doing it, and then everybody was looking around every time. But yeah, you could just stand right in those mouse droids and they don't even hurt you anymore. But yeah, that was right. that was awesome. So that was a good night. The other night was a good night. When we did Dread Fortress and the Eyeless. I have been spending time leveling my new power tech. So we'll see if we get around to doing it, but we were thinking about doing a leveling a power tech Vanguard. I have a 55 Vanguard, and that was my first class to 50. And I really like that class. Especially in the very beginning, especially before the most recent changes, it was definitely my favorite class. Now it's still pretty good. I'm very used to mercenary now, but I'm having a lot of fun with the lower level power tech again and picking it up again. It is a fun class to tank with as well. I wish I could have, way back in the beginning, there was the Carolina Parakeet hybrid build where you would have the tank abilities up to Storm, and then you would have DPS abilities out of Arsenal, and you would just destroy with a whole bunch of damage mitigation and a little overpowered.
Carolina Parakeet?
Yeah, there's a story behind that, and you can look it up in Wikipedia. What Carolina Parakeets, I think, are extinct and for a particular reason and blah, blah, blah. And so somebody named the build after that. And
oh, because it's extinct now?
I don't remember the whole story, but it was pretty cool. It was a good name for it.
I'll look it up during the Galactic Starfighter tip.
Pay attention to that crap anyway. But speaking of Galactic Starfighter, I was doing some of that this week. Not as much as last week, because yes, I was also doing a ton of Requel. And I didn't finish it. I don't have tokens stored up. I probably don't even have enough to get to champion. I probably do have enough to get to hero, but not to champion. I do have my spreadsheet, my calculator up on newoverlords.com if you want to check if you have enough. By the time you hear this, though, it'll be too late anyway for this round. But we expect it'll come back. So I was doing a ton of that, though. And yeah, getting a big kick out of it. And we'll dive into that in a lot more detail. But first, we can hit a little bit of news. And I have a new news bumper.
Continuing our coverage...
I implore you to listen to what I have to say.
Now, an Imperial News Network report.
I implore you to listen to what I have to say. And what we have to say this week on the news is a few things. So you found a blog post up on that new Flashpoint, right, Seema?
Right. There was a blog post today, or I should say, earlier today when it was yesterday, about the new Flashpoint, the Kuat Drive Yards Flashpoint. And basically that's the new Flashpoint that's coming in 2.6. It's what they're calling a tactical Flashpoint, which means a couple things. It means it's role neutral, which means when the group finder comes up, it's going to pick four players, whoever the next four players are in the queue. Doesn't have to wait for a tank, doesn't have to wait for, you know, two DPS or a healer. So it's expected to make queues go faster for this kind of content. It also scales. So you can do this in sense that, you know, as soon as you're level 15, it also bolsters. So if you're a higher level, you're a player with a higher level character, you can go with your friend who's a lower level character and it will bolster to your level. They give a warning, though, that it doesn't also bolster your companions. So take that into account when you decide if you're going to two-man it or four-man it or three-man it or whatever.
Interesting.
So it'll also randomly select different gameplay scenarios, which we talked a little bit about before. So I take that to mean there'll be different boss fights and they might be in slightly different positions in this, the area that you go into might be different trash pulls or whatever.
So I remember when we did it and it was pretty interesting. You do like two starting missions. You got to go hit these consoles and shoot these things over here. Two different things. And then you have a bigger boss fight at the end. So clear out this area, do the boss fight. So then when I read what they talked about in the scenario, the two things you do, that sort of the two starting scenarios, are 2 out of 5. So there's 5 possible scenarios, and it'll give you 2 randomly. And there's 3 possible end bosses. So each time you do it, it is giving you a sort of a different mix, at least a random mix of a combo of those first 5 scenarios and the 3 end bosses. And there's like bonus mini bosses and bony. There are bony bosses, which are really amazing new kind of boss. can't wait to do some bony bosses. But yeah, so that is a great idea. That is clever. And with the bolstering and everything, they're thinking. So it is good.
The story mode versions of the Circa Corporate Labs and Circa Core Meltdown are going to be classified in the group finder as tactical flashpoints as well, meaning that they'll just take whatever 4 people. I don't think it's going to have all the same bells and whistles. Like it won't have different scenarios, or it won't have bolster or any level or any of that stuff. But yeah, it already works that way in story mode. It's just now that's being called in the group finder a tactical flashpoint.
And I imagine they'll have more of these going forward. So that sounds cool. So I'm all for that. That sounds good. And let's see, otherwise in news, we have a new Ask a Guildie this week, a thread in our Alia Yachta Est forums. Baritha is our Guildie of the week this week. We had Vitalogy last week. That just wrapped up. Poor Vitalogy didn't have that many questions in his thread because everybody was off doing rat ghouls. So I threw an extra one at him as we closed out the week last night.
Must kill rat ghouls.
But we'll talk to Baritha this week, find out more about Baritha. I hung out with Baritha at Nerdtacular, and he was a cool guy. So cool. I can't wait to catch up with him again. I do plan on being at Nerdtacular again this year, so that should be fun. And I think that's all we've got for news.
It is.
But we can do a Galactic Starfighter tip.
Do a barrel roll!
I still get a kick out of that bumper. So to kick it off, a quick thing. If you are playing at all on the PTS, you probably aren't playing Galactic Starfighter because nobody is queuing up. The devs did have one night last week, which was great. They did publicize that they were going to be on and people were supposed to get on and queue with them. So hopefully some people got some time to spend in the bombers that night. I wasn't able to. What they did enable, though, in this past few days is on the PTS, you can now get directly to the Starfighter launch deck. If you go to the elevator where you go to Interfleet Transport, there's a new floor on the elevator button when you pick that little menu that comes up, and you can now go down to that launch deck area. Used to only be able to get to it on the PTS by queuing for the quad drive yards and exiting instance. So that's pretty cool. And it reminded me how cool the design of the fleet is, in that they can expand vertically. They can add as many floors as they want to any of the ships because they've got those elevators and even the main fleet. And then if you look at the map when you do interfleet transport, they could add more ships too. So I think that's really clever of them and a great way to sort of expand.
Cool.
My main tip this week is just a quick one on ship switching. So when you look at the bottom of your hangar window, there's 5 ships down at the bottom. Remember, you're bringing 5 ships into every match for a reason, so you can have your squad of 5 ships. When between matches or before you start a match, you can click on that bar right above those 5 ships that says select your ship. It pops up the list of all your ships, and you can pick which of the 5 set of 5 you want to be bringing into your next Galactic Starfighter map. You can also then reorder those ships. Remember that? We talked about that a couple times. Reorder them to however you want, and whichever's the first one in that line on the left will be the one you default to. But because you have 5 ships to choose from, and I usually don't use 5, I'm usually using 2 or 3, you can switch off in the middle of the match. As every time you die, or even if you purposefully die, run yourself into an asteroid or something, you can pick a different ship to come back in. And I do this relatively often. I still spend 80% of my time in a scout. Usually my Flashfire, my Sting. But depending on what's going on in the particular match, you can start out in a scout, which I almost always do. I almost always start in a scout even if I want to be doing something else, because then I can get out fast and get to a satellite quickly and cap it. But depending on how the rest of the match goes, if the other team takes, say, the other two satellites and there's a bunch of defenders at those satellites, I might switch off to a gunship. And then I'll be picking off defenders and picking off defense turrets and things like that. Or maybe I go to a gunship for a little while, and then there's too many gunships. And if everybody's out at 1,500 meters or 15,000 meters from a satellite, you're not capping that satellite because you're not in control range. Maybe we need a couple more scouts or strike fighters to be capping those satellites. So I'll switch off then and go either go back to a scout or go back to a strike fighter. And now when we put bombers into the mix, bombers will be a tactical option. Keep that in mind. You can switch off in between. You can use the right ship for the right scenario. And as new game types come out, that might become important as well. One other thing to remember is that you get bonus requisition per ship. You get that bonus period, the first, I don't remember exactly how much it is, 500 or 1,000 ship requisition that you're gaining is at a double rate when you're using that ship for the first time that day. You want to burn up that requisition on multiple ships because it also multiplies your fleet requisition. So you're losing, even if you don't care about the strike fighter, you're not going to spend that much time in the strike fighter. Getting a little requisition to build up its abilities is not bad. And you're getting that 2x fleet requisition so that you can unlock more ships and unlock a couple bombers when they come out and that kind of thing. Might as well use that. Might as well get that bonus. It's a good thing to remember. And I think that's about it for Galactic Starfighter. Now we can move on to our Rakgul segment.
The Highland Organization for Rakgul Neutralization, or THORN.
Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
And what does that mean to you?
It means someone really wanted our initials to spell out SHIELD.
Yes.
So someone really wanted it to spell out THORN.
I think it works a little bit better than SHIELD, though.
Well, I don't know what the Highland whatever blah blah blah, but...
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's his name, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the dude's name. So,
And I like that he can get on the Imperial News and the Republic News. That's a feat.
He's a capitalist.
Yeah, he's GSI.
GSI. Everybody loves GSI.
Right.
Yeah, because everybody loves digging up crap out of that.
Yes. Right. That's why everybody still has that quest in their logs.
So, yes, the Rakgul event. I really liked it. So we'll go through the different parts and we'll just talk about what we liked and didn't like. By the time you hear this, it will be over for this round. It was only running for a week. It will be coming back though, and we'll talk about what our speculation is on how it will come back. But there's different parts to it, and I think they did a good job. You start on the fleet. You get that little mission terminal that shows up on the fleet like it has for other events. You talk to that, and it tells you to go off to Alderaan. There's one other thing you probably noticed, maybe around that time, is there's a bunch of people infected and exploding on the fleet. And the first time you explode and you get someone else infected, as long as you're, level 25 and up, level 20 and above, you get the hidden daily, which is infect 3 people.
I've gotten that daily lower than level 25.
So, I think it's 20. Because I have a level 17 guy, and I kept blowing up on people, and nobody was getting infected. So I think maybe it doesn't happen till 20. But I would still get infected and blow up.
Right, exactly.
That's why they were giving me the daily. But yeah, we'll talk about what some of the achievements are too, but there's also an achievement for infecting more and more people. I get a kick out of it. I like getting infected, and I like infecting other people. I know some people don't, though. There were some people that kept getting angry about it.
Yes. I mean, when I was hanging out on the fleet waiting for my, debuff to tick up so I could explode, I did respond to a few people on general who were upset and explained to them that they could get the Rakgul vaccine from basically any med droid and that inoculate you for 6 hours. And most people that were really upset didn't know that. Although one guy did point out that if you're a PvPer and you're going into war zones a lot, that doesn't really help you because then it's 2K every time you come back to the fleet. So to that person, I say, you know, go get newcomer rep and buy the 5K relic.
Yes, I agree. Or don't worry about it and blow up and have fun with it, because if everything's always the same, then everything's always the same and it's boring.
The thing is, though, if it was just getting blown up, I think what gets people upset is that little stun. So it interferes with all kinds of weird things, like it interferes with mounting up on your speeder or going somewhere or
talking to vendors, and it does interfere with a lot of things.
Reverse engineering. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
Sure. I did get a The only time I really got annoyed with the stuns was in some of these dailies. The Rat Ghouls themselves, when you get to the second area, they stun you also. So between the stuns that I was getting from being infected and the stuns that they were putting on me, I was spending like minutes, I felt.
Thank God for companions, huh?
Like 5 minutes stunned. All right, Treak, just get these guys. I'm just going to lay here for a while.
But I do like that they there's two really good solutions if you don't want to get infected. Well, three if you count don't hang out by the infection party. But yeah, there's a lot of ways to avoid getting infected, which I think was really well done.
Yes. Then if you embrace it, the idea of a plague infesting the galaxy and spreading. I wonder if there's even a way that researchers could use that on some point to study the transmission of disease and things like that. It just seems really interesting to me.
On General said, too, suggested, you know, during this event, there should be like droids like on the fleet roaming around killing people who are infected.
If you are infected with the Rakul plague, please arrange for your immediate incineration.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, you're infected. I'm going to need to incinerate you now.
Yes. Walk this way.
So yeah, that was cool. Then you get to Alderaan. What's Alderaan? what a terrible name. Either way, we should blow up that place.
Yeah.
Nuke it from orbit. It's the only way to be sure. But yeah, so you go to Alderaan. And you go to the camp, you talk to another mission operative there who's running the little first aid station. And depending if you're Republic or Imperial, you're going to your landing base by your starport and you're getting that first mission to inoculate some citizens around the main base area. And then you're going off to the tunnels. So there was a couple cool things I found out there. As you sort of just wander around House Thule or House, I forgot what it is on the other side.
Organa
and Thule. So there's little random spawns of Rat Ghouls, three at a time, that pop out. If you drag those Rat Ghouls to some of those wandering guard droids, the guard droids will shoot them for you. So
yeah,
you don't really need to worry about them. However, once in a while, an elite Rat Ghoul will spawn. And those elite Rat Ghouls have a chance of dropping one of the Rackling pets.
Right.
So a little hidden things, a little discovered things. And this whole Rackul event is just filled with those hidden, discovered, random, rare drop bosses, mini bosses. And I just got a big kick out of that.
I like the fact that there was basically something in this event for all levels. I mean, I actually went and tested this out on my level 20 Sentinel. I went and I could do all the quests, all the daily quests. You do not get the one in town where you inoculate the infected soldiers and citizens. You don't get that one. It's not available till you're actually level 25. But the speeder works. You can go down to the tunnel. You can get all those dailies. You have to be careful. You have to have a certain mindset if you go in at level 20, because the level 25 mobs are hard to kill. That 5-level gap means you're missing a lot. So what I would do is I would pull the mob, then I would go around and kill all the level 20 spawns. I would stick my companion on the level 25 mob, and then I'd come back, and then we just both just hit the mob a million times until it died. I mean, it was hilarious because it'd be like there'd be like 100 HP left on the mob and you still might hit it another 10 or 20 times because it was just miss. But I never once really aggroed more than I wanted to aggro. So It was a slightly busy time too, so that's maybe another tip. Go there if you're going to try this. Go at a busy time. The better tip is, you know, bring some buddies. But at 25, once you get to 25, you can do that quest in town that Max just talked about. At level 50, you start getting a canister as a result for a reward for the quest where you scan for the navigation beacons. You can do that quest at level 20 and any level in between 20 and 50, but you just get the green rep token and like a planetary comm, I think. But at 50, you start getting the canister for it.
So those quests are down in the tunnels. So after you get out of that first area where you talk to the person, you can jump on the speeder, you get down in the tunnels. One thing I noticed is that's they call it the spike. The spike then drilled down into the ground and found these Rakul tunnels. We'll talk about where we might find other Rakul tunnels later. But I don't know if you noticed. I did it on both sides. There's a door on either side. There's only one spike. One door on one side of the spike is Imperial, and one door on the other side of the spike is Republic.
Right.
And that little speeder that takes you back and forth to House Organa, House Thule, just takes you then to, you know, basically 50 meters further from your door.
Right.
That's got to be a little bit of a crazy place on a PvP server, I would think.
I think, in a way, that's, I'm not into world PvP, and I'm not on a PvP server, but the PvP people that I talk to, I would think that would be one of the huge pluses of it. And even when you're down in the tunnels, it must be fantastic for world PvP. At first, I was thinking, you know, they don't have the PvP quests like they did for the Gree event, but maybe they learned from that. Maybe they said, you know what, people are not having fun with those PvP quests. It's causing a certain kind of churn that maybe we don't want to see, a certain kind of drama that we don't want to see in the events. So maybe we'll just have it world PvP.
Yeah, they left in the achievements, so that's fine. And the Gree event had the PvP mission where it was open PvP for pub on pub on Imperial, Imperial on Imperial, which I think frustrated some people. Whereas
that's right.
This, if you're on a PvP server, it's PvP it's an open world PvP. They still structured the tunnels so that it's hard. It's not impossible, but it's hard for a bunch of Imperials to get to the Republic spawn area. And it's part of hard vice versa because you have that lip that you drop down and the grappling hook that you get to use to get back up. So that I think it's designed to still limit griefing in the spawn area. But once you get down into the open area down below in the tunnels, go to town.
Isn't that just a shortcut though? I mean, isn't there another way around? I have to check that out.
Good point. I didn't think there was a way around. I thought it was both ways you're dropping down.
But since you brought up the speeder, I mean, that speeder to me was brilliant, right? Because basically they're saying we want to make an event that lower level characters can play in, but we want to be able to put it in on any planet. And as long as you have your ship and you can get there, you can hop on that speeder and you don't have to run through, which I didn't know this on my first Lobby character. I ran through all the way through and whatever. I ran from Manka Cats all the way. But yeah, I love that little speeder.
And it's one of those instant travel. It's their new instant travel. You don't have to wait for the speeder to go make a sandwich while the speeder flies over half of Alderaan to get to where it needs to go.
Which is good nice. if your ops group is waiting for you to arrive. I kind of miss the scenery though.
Especially when you're flying one of those Thrantas. Those are pretty cool. That's such a relaxing ride.
I was flying on a Thranta once and I had the infection and I coughed while I was on the speeder and my character stood up and then I rode the rest of the way on the Thranta in a standing position. It was awesome. It was like surfing.
Woohoo. That's awesome. So what else? So down in the tunnels, there's four dailies and a heroic, a four-person heroic daily. I was so-so on the heroic daily. I think it's fine, but you do need four people, and I prefer things that I can do with, well, maybe you need three people, but I prefer things that I could just solo.
Okay, I did the heroic with two people many times, but I wouldn't try to solo it.
Right, yeah. Two and two companions, I could see doing it.
What I think was brilliant about how that heroic four was laid out is even though it wasn't instanced, it was laid out in such a way that it was almost like nobody was ever waiting around. They could spawn, you can spawn your champ whenever you want. And even if you're, you can go in there and talk to the merchant without aggroing any horrible pulls of, you know, most heroic areas, they have these big pulls of like several strongs and several, maybe, you know, one or two elites and two or three strongs that you can't, you just can't get by without engaging them. In this area, you can get by that stuff. There's one rat ghoul that's going to spawn the rest of the pull, and you just avoid that one rat ghoul and you can get by. So I think that's kind of brilliant.
That was good. And that vendor down there, the little Jilvik, the Jawa vendor, he's the guy. If hopefully you guys saw this when you're down there, he's the guy who sells the black green crystals and the mounts, the cool mounts and the pets. I thought an interesting part of this, we'll have to see what they do with this in the future, is the currency that some of that unique stuff takes to buy. If you want to buy one of the mounts, for example, you need the canisters, which are dropping. You need barnacles, which drop from the operations boss. You need symbiotic fungal blooms, which drop from those fungus elites down in the tunnels. You need exotic plague specimens, which drop from the world boss, which we can mention. But you need a whole bunch of these currency tokens, basically, which sort of forces you to go off and do bits of all of the content, which is interesting, rather than just grinding the dailies to get to legendary and then you buy it with credits.
Yeah, I'm undecided about that.
Yeah. I mean, I could see both sides. I could see it saying it's a pain, and if I don't like world bosses, I don't really want to do a world boss, especially do it five times so I can get a mount, then that annoys me a little bit. But it's a way to say, you know, do, if you want the big reward, do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I lucked out because I have no desire for an infected mount of any sort. No. So I don't have to worry about it. And that's lucky because world boss is one of my least favorite kinds of encounters.
It is difficult for a couple reasons.
Yeah. I don't have to face it. I mean, the next event where they have some kind of mount that I really want, then I can decide then whether I like it or dislike it. But for now, I'm sort of, it seems fine.
Right. With a series of geared players going against the world boss, eight or more players who know what they're doing, the world boss is pretty easy. The problem with the world boss, they at least gave him a fast respawn rate. It's really only about 10 or 12 minutes. But if you have groups on Imperial and Republic that are both trying to get it and everybody's switching maps and trying to get a group together, and then somebody, you know, then the Imperials take it and you're on Republic and waiting, that gets annoying. Otherwise, it was fine.
I feel bad for the people who are diligently in general trying to build a team and put together a team, and then a guild just pops in because they just came from another instance. And they're all ready. They go, they take the world boss. I mean, and not that they shouldn't, the skilled.
No. But that's how world bosses work, but
I just don't like the world boss, the whole world boss. I don't know. I don't have an improvement to suggest, though, so I'll be quiet.
Well, an improvement is an operations boss, which we did.
But I see that there's something in between. Like the advantage of the world boss is that you can do it multiple times, as many times as you have a stomach for, whereas the ops, the instance thing, has a weekly lockout.
Right. It's designed for something different.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's sort of like if you made it instanced and then let people do it however many times they wanted to, then why even have currency? You might as well just give the loot away.
Right. Sure.
So I see the point of it. It's just not my favorite thing.
What'd you think of that ops boss? So we did it on story mode and hard mode. It was hard enough on hard mode that I think it was worthwhile. I think one thing that was confusing, that if people are looking at doing this next time, is the lockouts are story mode and hard mode. The lockouts are not 8-man versus 16-man. So in addition, the rewards per person are exactly the same for 8-man versus 16-man. So it doesn't benefit you to make sure you get 16 people. There's 4 barnacles that drop in 8-man and 8 barnacles that drop in 16-man. So it's still only 1 barnacle for every 2 people, either mode. The Gree event worked a little differently in that you actually got a bonus for doing it in 16 man. In this, there's not the bonus. So all those people that were trying extra hard to make sure they got a 16 man going, it's not worth it.
Do you get more ultimate columns or anything like that?
Nope.
Hmm.
So there is no bonus to doing it in 16 man versus 8 man.
See, when we did it, I didn't roll on any of those currency things because I didn't want to take one when I wasn't going to buy an infected mount. Why would I want an, okay, never mind. But yeah.
Because it's a thing to have.
It's a thing. It's a thing.
All my things to have my things. The fight itself, I think, was pretty good. I did do it on my Marauder and had a little bit of problem doing it as melee, only because the positioning is hard. Because you're also getting the drops of phlegm or whatever he's spitting on the ground. And some of them would get on the melee DPS who's behind the boss. And then if the tank doesn't drag the boss away quick enough, then the melee has nowhere to stand. And then the boss does his little pound ability and you have to run out anyway. And
when I
did it on my mercenary, I just stood back, pew, 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 just shot him the whole time, my rotation, bunch of DPS on him.
I liked it. I like fights that I thought it was a pretty good balance between doable by any group, but still with some challenge. Like when we did it in our ops group, the concepts of moving together or doing this or doing that are not new. And then we did it in a guild group, 16 man on Friday night. And that was challenging. And yet we still got, you know, got lots of people through it that don't normally raid. So I thought it was pretty well done from that respect.
Yeah.
And we were using bolster when we had that bigger group. So we got to check that out. One of our healers was bolstered.
So all in all, I did like that ops fight. The tunnels are interesting. There's those champion mobs around in the tunnels that have a chance to drop extra goodies. There's all the little rackling pets are back with new ones. There's a total of 7, which I didn't realize. So even the old ones you can get again from various rare drops off of either existing spawns or rare spawns. They added a secret boss in Caen Under Siege, so you can get the Midnight Rack Ghoul again, the Rackling.
Wait, they added that boss? It hasn't been there all along?
No. Yeah, they added it.
Oh, so I want to go see that.
I have a Midnight Rackling on my Mercenary, but...
Yes, I know.
If you didn't get it, it's 100% drop off that new secret boss.
Okay. You can do it in story mode, right?
Yes, you should be able to. We'll have to look that up.
And
we've got until next time. And we'll be able to continue working on our rep, which they have, and codex entries, which I didn't care about at all. Achievements, which sure, there's some fun little achievements. The only other note I had was, I didn't realize until later, the one of the achievements for getting the Kowakian monkey lizard, infected monkey lizard pet, which I think you buy off the Jawa vendor. The achievement is ah-ha-ha-ha-cough, which I didn't know what is that? But if you remember from do you know what that is? It'd be from Return of the Jedi.
That little
monkey lizard thing that sits next to Jabba the Hutt and all it does is laugh and it goes, ah!
Oh. Well, if you look at the achievements in general, this is sort of off the topic, but I was looking at the Alderaan achievements and for killing so many Organa people, the first tier of it is called Organa Meat. And the wrist one is and the soul one, both of them are some horrible puns. It's great. I like the names of the achievements.
So keep an eye out for that stuff next time around and keep working on you. I think you're going to have your opportunity to get back in there and get anything you missed and try this stuff out or anything that you didn't get to. You'll have an opportunity to keep working on your rep and get to legendary and get the mounts and get the weapons and things like that. So what is your theory, Seema, on if and when this event will come back?
Well, I think it's going to be, I'm going to say, like Tio said, He said 6 to 8 weeks. That's what I think it's going to be, too, 6 to 8 weeks. Not every month, because I think a monthly event is they're just going to fill up the month with, you know, week one is Bounty Contract, week two is Gree, week three is Reckling. I don't think they're going to do that. So I would say 6 to 8 weeks. I hope it's not more than that. I see the layout. I know they're going to go to different planets because you can see that from the achievements.
Right.
Corellia and Tatooine are listed. I'm assuming that they're going to use the exact same zone.
I think so too.
They might put different mobs in there. I don't know, like instead of Killix, because Killix is very Alderaan. So maybe right. they'll put sand people underneath there.
I didn't think about that until you mentioned it, but yes, I could see that being a change.
Yeah. So I thought, why would you have a jungle underneath Tatooine? But then Max educated me on maybe it's not really a jungle. Maybe it's just an overgrowth of fungus. That's the outcome of having all these infected
gardeners
type things. Yeah. Yeah.
The cultivator and all those rare dudes, the champion dudes, the extra champion Rakghouls that are down there that you get achievements off of. There's the breeder, the collector, the cultivator, the harvester, and the planter. They're all growing all the fungus that's lining the walls and ceiling and all the glowing stuff that's all down there. So even on Tatooine, if it's a carved out raw rock, dry rock cavern, once those guys get in there and infest the place and start growing their fungus, that's what it looks like. And it just happens to look exactly the same configuration of tunnels on every planet where they infest. But there you go. I think it'll work that way too.
Yeah.
So yeah, 6 to 8 weeks. That sounds good to me too. I also hope it wouldn't be that much longer than 8 weeks. I also do agree though that once a month, one week a month is too often.
And actually, as far as the vendors go, I'm thinking that the two vendors that were in the camp, the one that had the legacy armor and the one that had the legacy weapons and the relics and stuff, I bet those turn up somewhere, so they're available all the time. But maybe Geelvik will just be around for the event.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
I don't know where they would go. I mean, maybe they won't be around. Well, I guess... You guys who are listening, you know the answer to this already.
We'll see. We'll see if they're still there next week. And if they're not, then you'll have to catch them next time they're around. The Gree ones stick around, so maybe these guys will stick around too. I would hope that they would, but we'll have to see. So you all listening in the future, you know the answer.
Yes.
But us here in the past, we need to wrap it up for the week, I think.
Yeah.
And
let's do
that. Our little infected astromech droid is all ready to go here, but I don't know what to do with an infected astromech.
Per Ministry of Biotic Science guidelines, airlock expulsion has been approved as an acceptable method of Rakul plague carrier disposal.
Really? How convenient.
So nice to know that.
Because that's what I like to do with astromechs. So... EPC 23 here is filled up and ready to go out the airlock with his infestation to spread the plague of our content to all of you. So yes, thanks for listening. For comments or questions, we can be found on Twitter at MaxTheGray and at AIESema, or drop in on Jedi Covenant and ask us for an invite. Our character names are going to be in the show notes. For AIE Guild information, you can visit aie-guild.org or find us on Facebook or Google+. At AIE SWOTOR. And we will talk to you soon.
Later.